A new commission of inquiry has been promised into the sexual abuse in religious-run schools, revealed by last week's report that found over 2,300 allegations in relation to 308 schools. Gardaí have received over 160 contacts since the report's publication. A scheme of redress is also being examined by government. Now, this morning we're going to look at restorative justice and ask if it has a role to play in supporting survivors of sexual abuse. A number of schemes are in place, including one established by the Spirit and Congregation and past pupils of Blackrock College and Willow Park Primary School. Blackrock and Willow Park recorded 185 allegations against 37 abusers. We're going to hear from Jennifer Llewellyn. She's Professor of Law and Chair of Restorative Justice at Dalhousie University in Nova Scotia. But earlier I spoke to John Coulter. He's a survivor of abuse in Willow Park and co-founder and participant in a restorative justice programme, Restored Together, established by the Spiritans and past pupils. John first told me about the programme and his own experience.
I, like many of the people in my class and in class years around me in Willow Park, suffered abuse. But we realised that there was a very significant problem, that the numbers were just horrific. And so we went to the Spiritans and said, you need to put something in place that assists victim survivors to come forward, to share their story, open up about it. Many people had locked it away for, you know, decades and hadn't spoken about it. And then they needed professional help both to do that. And then subsequently, once they have opened that Pandora's box of memories, they obviously need further help and assistance. And that could be in the form of counselling or therapy. We found that putting healing circles in place has been very, very valuable. Victim survivors get support from each other in sort of group work. But also we found that many victim survivors wanted to have a meeting with the perpetrator, or in the case where the perpetrators are dead, with their representatives of the perpetrator, where they share their story with it in that meeting, have it acknowledged that this happened to them, and where they receive an apology, a personal apology for it. And many victims wanted this. Of the 200 or so victim survivors that have come forward to the restorative justice process, about 80 have wanted meetings. So it's not for everybody, but many who have engaged in it have found it helpful in dealing with the trauma of their abuse.
You engaged with it, John, yourself. Tell me about how it happened and who you met.
The meeting process was with the provincial head of the Spiritan group at the time. That was Martin Kelly. There's now a new provincial, Brendan Carr. And he sat in and representing the Spiritans. And then he was accompanied in most of those meetings by the man who at the time was the safeguarding officer, Liam Lally. And then on the victim survivor side, there was the victim survivor was there with people that he had or she would wanted to have with them to help support them through the process. And then the victim survivor shares their story. The general format has been that it gets acknowledged that it happened. The victim survivor hears that it wasn't their fault, and then they receive a personal apology, which in and of itself is that process of having it acknowledged that it happened and that it wasn't their fault. It's important for many victim survivors to hear that.
Does it involve, or can it involve, the question of redress?
Yes. So financial redress is something that a lot of victim survivors want. They don't all start out feeling that they necessarily want some sort of financial acknowledgement. And, you know, redress is a very poor word. Really, it's a financial acknowledgement or validation that happened. But you'll never compensate anybody for what got stolen from them. It never compensates them adequately. But people should, there should be a payment to recognize the harm and the damage that was done. And a lot of victim survivors want financial redress. And this is something that they want and need now, and something that should not be delayed until the end of a commission of inquiry, which could take 5, 7, 10 years. So, you know, these processes around financial redress need to be put in place now, immediately, because that's what victims need.
And is financial redress part of what happens within Restore Together, the restorative justice programme that you're involved with the Spiritans?
We have been working with the Spiritans for the last 18 months on putting a non-adversarial financial redress scheme where it's sort of it's an mediation or an arbitration type process in place where the victim kind of doesn't have to be cross-examined and be we're trying to minimize the level of re-traumatization. We've got the process details agreed with the Spartans on that. The issue is that the Spartans feel they need to have the funds available in order to know that they can meet the funding requirements of that scheme before they can actually launch it. And what we would hope is that this commission of inquiry doesn't provide them or any other religious order an excuse not to proceed with something like this, because victims need it, and they need it now.
You know, John, many people might be surprised, and I wonder what you'd say to this, but they might be surprised that when it came to the question of justice and restorative justice, that in setting up this organisation, Restore Together, that your first port of call, if you like, was back to the Spartans, the organisation where the abusers were, received shelter, and where they worked.
We needed to engage with the Spartans, number one, because if somebody wants a meeting with the perpetrator to receive an acknowledgement and an apology that it happened, that has to be with the Spartans. So we had to engage with them on that. We needed the Spartans to be involved to pay for counselling and therapy and the group circle work, to pay for the professionals that are engaged in all this. Otherwise, you know, somebody has to fund that. And we needed the Spartans to engage with the Spartans in order to try and put in place a financial redress scheme that is victim-centered and victim-friendly. You know, this abuse happened in a Spartan order by, you know, in a lot of, in many, many cases by Spartan priests. They need to be involved with this solution.
And you were listening there to John Coulter, and we're going to stay with this story now and talk to Professor Jennifer Llewellyn, who joins us. She's in Ireland and participated in a conference last week entitled Transforming Justice Responses to Non-Recent Institutional Abuses. Professor Llewellyn, you're very welcome to Morning Ireland.
Oh, thank you very much.
And let's stay with this question of what it is that restorative justice can do and how it sits, you know, between the criminal and the civil legal proceedings that are open to people and a state-led inquiry.
Yeah, we've actually seen adoption of restorative justice processes inside criminal law and in lots of jurisdictions, starting often with youth justice, but also with adult justice, and increasingly in the civil context and in human rights context, where we're focused largely on bringing together particular parties to find better plans and pathways to address what's happened, to offer redress, but also to have a better understanding of what matters about what happened and what needs to be addressed. So that kind of truth-finding process. But those processes are largely focused on individual parties. We have also seen the development of restorative justice, particularly to address the kinds of needs that you've just heard talked about, and all for survivors, but also to get at these really complicated institutional and societal contexts. So in my own home province of Nova Scotia in Canada, we designed an entire public inquiry to address institutional abuse in an institution called the Home for Colored Children. We designed both that redress scheme and then that truth-telling process through a public inquiry to take a restorative approach.
And how did you accommodate those who were responsible and the organizations that represented those that were responsible?
Yeah, so that in that design, it was crucial that those who were responsible within the community for running or governing that particular institution over generations, but also the government, who had a significant role in the context of setting up that school, it being part of the child welfare scheme, but also who held the ability to learn from what happened there and ensure, as the survivors there really want it, that what happened to them didn't happen in vain, that it made a difference. That was really part of redress and reparation for them. The government had to be included. We did that in a couple of ways. We included them both in the design process for that inquiry. The inquiry was designed in a restorative way to have a council of parties of commissioners representing all of those parties mm-hmm. and they worked together. And we also had the opportunity to design restorative processes where they were called into that process of thinking about redress at institutional levels in a way that they really exercised meaningful accountability and responsibility.
And in thinking about what is happening in Ireland, a promise now of a commission of inquiry looking at a question of redress, and at the same time now a renewed police inquiry. I'm just wondering, how long did the proceedings take in Nova Scotia?
So in Nova Scotia, they were about 3 years. That said, we offered redress, the kind of financial redress, in a redress scheme up front. Precisely because, as you've just heard, we also had survivors, former residents who were aging and who had been waiting some time. We designed that redress process to reflect a restorative approach. So where there was support for telling stories, where we shifted the kind of adversarial and very traumatic processes around hearing from people's experiences. And that redress really served just the financial portion of it as a way of acknowledging responsibility and inviting people into that truth-telling investigatory process that also ran restoratively.
Well, thank you very much indeed for sharing your experiences with us this morning. That's Professor Jennifer Llewellyn there, bringing us to 24 minutes to nine. And before I go to Brian with the news headlines, just if you have been affected by any of the issues we've been discussing, you can find helplines and services on rte.ie/helplines.